Hi, listeners. Welcome to this episode of We Earn Media. I wanted to start today's episode with a tweet that I spotted that was written by today's guest, Diana Kelly Levy. She tweeted, and I quote, "Freelancer slash journalist confession, I still get a little nervous before doing an interview with an expert or an article source. I've been conducting interviews since 2001, writing for my college paper. Why does it happen? But I'm kind of glad it does because it means I care." Okay, now going back to me, Britt, as someone who gets nervous for a client who has a media interview coming up and is on the complete other side of the table, I found this tweet so refreshing to read. And as I'm sure you'll be able to tell after today's interview, Diana truly writes because she cares and is passionate about helping to improve the lives of others with her writing. Before we welcome Diana, let me tell you a little bit about her. Diana Kelly Levy is a freelance writer, journalist, published author, and editor whose work has been featured in outlets such as Health, Real Simple, InStyle, and Reader's Digest, just to name a few. She has 20 years of experience working for national publications and award-winning brands on staff and as a freelancer. She thrives when she is covering topics, products, and services that help people and can improve readers' lives in some way. Welcome to the show, Diana.
Thank you, Britt. I'm so glad to be here.
So we're going to just dive right into things. We always start off the show. Oh my goodness, I didn't even say hello, Jacqueline. Welcome. Jacqueline is a writer.
Hi, Jacqueline.
Thanks for having me.
I didn't want to interrupt. Yeah, thanks for having me on as well, both of you, and really nice to meet you, Diana.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
I'm very excited to talk about this one, as everyone can tell. Diana kindly sent along an article that did incorporate a PR pitch, and it's basically for Health magazine. It's titled The 12 Best Comfortable Flats of 2023. Diana, can you just give us a brief overview of the article?
Yes. That article was assigned to me by my editor at Health Magazine. And they, like many editors at magazines, are trying to capitalize on certain search terms. And I was given this list of superlatives to fill in as I worked on this article about the best flats for walking. And I was also given the assignment to interview probably at least two podiatrists as well. And then the way it works is I would kind of do the research, talk to the podiatrist, and do the research on products to possibly include as well and make sure that like the products have great reviews and just get approval from my editor before I would go forth and start writing it.
Oh, okay. So this actually was assigned to you, and then you happened to have a pitch come through that you were able to incorporate into the article. Did I get that right?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, great. Well, that's perfect timing. We talk about that often, Jacqueline and I, just on the side and also in the podcast, how pitching can sometimes just be lucky. Like it could just be your pitch could be really good time or could just have really good timing.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we'll probably get into in this interview is that I just keep pitches in my Gmail inbox and unfortunately ignore them sometimes, but then I just refer back to them when I know I'm looking for something. So I'll search for keywords in my inbox. And this one, the timing was probably close to when I got this assignment, but also I knew the brand of flats that I possibly wanted to include and kind of like knew the brand to look for and reach out to that publicist as well to kind of see about their products.
Ah, okay. So let's get into the pitch. What stood out to you about the subject line and the content?
Yeah, this subject line from the publicist was, "Podiatrists swear by these stylish and supportive sneakers for summer." So I think I would have gotten this probably last summer. And I actually initially started working on this article like last fall. So, you know, there's certain words I was searching through in my inbox already, like podiatrists. So it's nice when this comes up from a publicist. And what I think was great about the subject line is that it actually is a very editorial style headline. So this is something that almost like my health editor would kind of post or use, or somebody would use in social media. And I think that can be very helpful when you're trying to get the freelance writer or the editor to open up your pitch, just to kind of think of it as an editorial style, like, oh, would this be an article that would appear on like Health Magazine's site in this type of headline? And if so, that might make a great subject line.
Love that tip. We've heard that a lot about the keywords. Yeah. So it's like two nice takeaways.
Then I just searched my inbox and I think it, so this was, we can just launch into it. This was for the Vionic shoe brand. And, you know, what's great about working with any footwear brands, as any fashion brands, is that usually they're pitching me spring and fall, and they're reaching out probably 6 months beforehand. So I remember that this editor in particular kind of just stays in touch. And I think she also, in the, you know, pre-COVID days, hosted events, and they're back to hosting events again. So she's usually sending emails a couple of times a year with their latest lookbooks, things that are going on with the brand. But also, you know, the brand is supported and backed by a podiatrist, which definitely helps from an editor's and writer standpoint. Like when you're working with brands like Health, and you know that they want to make sure you're featuring products that are backed by medical professionals. And so they always kind of put that the forefront. Sorry, to do like a joke. So they always kind of put that there in their pitch, basically. And I think that's just, you know, helpful to know that upfront, that if this is a dermatologist backed brand, or if this is, you know, an OBGYN backed brand or something like that, you know, that just helps the journalist know that there is a, you know, reputable person and just the medical professionals behind it backing it.
Absolutely. That's very smart. Do they usually offer up interviews with these podiatrists or the experts who back them?
They do. And I know that I've attended with Vionic in particular, some webinars and things like that. And so like the podiatrist will walk through like their new line and what's great about it and the, you know, supportive elements and why that's good for foot health and that type of thing. I remember one time they held like a webinar on like kind of how to get your feet ready for summer and talking about whether getting a pedicure in a salon or spa was a good idea and like healthy tips for that. And I remember like logging onto the webinar as a freelance writer, and I saw a lot of editors on that. And I thought, wow, that's great. So they kind of provide that access. From my standpoint, on an article like this, where I am featuring a lot of brands, my editors don't want me to include a podiatrist like that's associated with the brand, because then it kind of seems like favoritism or something like that in that instance. But I mean, obviously I was featuring the brand Vionic anyway, but if you, you know, kind of opened up the article and then you said like this podiatrist, which would be, you know, associated with this brand Vionic, and then later you read on that Vionic perhaps won a category, it just kind of feels like a little too close between the, I guess, the branding and the expert there.
Right. Almost like pointing out the fact that, hey, this person is getting paid by Vionic.
Yes.
To do this job. So yeah, then do you then refer back to your email and try to find, you know, a podiatrist in this example who isn't affiliated?
Yes, absolutely. So then I think especially for this article, I would have searched through to see if any other media professionals pitched me their podiatrist, which could be, you know, a small town podiatrist who has their own practice, who's paired up with a publicist and they're trying to get their name out. Or if maybe I've had any queries on Harrow or Quoted in the past or things like that, you know, if anything's kind of come through my Gmail, I'll kind of like look there first when I'm trying to tackle and look for an expert. It's really probably my first place where I go to look for experts these days is like I check my inbox and think of like, who do I know? Is it somebody I've worked with before? You know, whether it's the publicist I've worked with before or the podiatrist or expert I've worked with before, and see if it's applicable that I could use them and if I try to reach out to them first.
Well, that's really interesting. And when you, before you choose that podiatrist, or maybe as you're selecting who you want to send questions to, is it helpful to also see where else they've contributed their commentary, kind of like digital proof in a way?
Yes, I think that can help. I think if that's like on a media page or something like that, that's perhaps linked. You know, I know a lot of these experts will say on their homepage, you know, as seen in or as quoted on Men's Health, Shape, things like that. I think that can be helpful. And especially if there was a media page that included links to each of the articles they were quoted in, personally, that helps me. Like I just was doing something else for the Equinox Fitness brand, and I interviewed a neuroscientist, and I looked at his media page, and he had all the links of the articles, interviews he's done recently. And it was really helpful for me to kind of get that background research as I started like learning more about him, to kind of see what he's already said and been quoted in, and, you know, topics he already felt comfortable with. So I think it really can be helpful to have that there for your client.
That's cool.
Fantastic. I, yes, was just having a conversation with a client about this. So thank you for validating my suggestion.
Yes. You have to promote yourself and you have to put your work out there. I have stuff on my page, my about page, that has links to interviews I've done and places where I've been quoted, to kind of show one side of myself as a freelance writing expert. So I have that all linked to one place. And I think it just is helpful for people to kind of peruse those articles and topics and know what you feel comfortable talking about, or they can just read it and see if they want to talk about something completely different.
So one of our questions that we asked was about why you thought this was an exciting story to cover. It was assigned to you, but knowing more about, you know, the thought process, even from your editor's perspective, is helpful. So I'll go ahead and ask that question.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, this was assigned to me, but I think the editor asked me like which of the topics I might want to cover. So sometimes the editors are doing this like batch assigning. They might say, you know, here's a list of 5 articles. Which of these pops out to you? And I found that can be helpful to see that. And I said, oh, I would love to talk more about foot health problems. I've covered that in the past, and I've had some personal like foot injuries, and I've had to switch to more comfortable shoes and flats and things like that. So it was a topic sort of near and dear to my heart as I've tried to navigate the world of like cute functional shoes that are comfortable and just don't all look like old lady orthotic shoes. And so I kind of was interested in working on it that way. And what's good is that there are a lot of products out there right now that can, you know, fit in those categories.
I almost forgot to ask, and this isn't in our list of questions, Diana, but I'm always curious about affiliate links. I think I saw that the shoes had affiliate links to corresponding Amazon pages, and I just see Amazon. Can you tell us more about how that works at Health, and if you're able to share that information?
Yeah, for affiliate links, I can share what I know with working with that brand, which is Health, is part of Dot-Meredith. And I know that like Very Well Health and other brands within there, I think, are doing similar things with affiliate links. So obviously, especially in editorial, they're doing a lot of these roundups of articles and reviews sometimes as well. And they're, you know, providing links to where to buy in the shopping guides. And I think the direction with this article in particular was that they wanted to get away from always just linking to Amazon, which I personally like and think is good. So, you know, but they are getting affiliate links through Amazon or perhaps other places. And I remember, I don't know if it was this article or another one I worked on for them, but the actual brand, like let's say the shoe brand, said to me, like, we have affiliate links if you would like those. And I thought that's really helpful, because a place like Health, they want to include this. I'd rather that sometimes the consumer can go link, let's say, right to Vionic. I don't know if they have affiliate links, but they can go right there. And then the editorial brand is kind of getting what they want out of it, which is perhaps a little commission if somebody buys the shoe after reading this article. And then the brand is getting, you know, that direct link, and they're getting probably hopefully more money, and they don't have to like rely on Amazon as much, which I think is good and helpful. And hopefully more editorial brands are moving towards that. It's not a whole list of just Amazon links or Walmart or Zappos and things like that. I would say on the back end, I don't know how the link structure is going. Like, I know that I'm submitting a link or two as an option to my editor. Like, I might just include an Amazon link and perhaps like, or the link right to like, let's say Vionic's shoe website. And they might link somewhere else. Maybe they'll link to Nordstrom, maybe they'll link to Amazon, maybe they'll link to something else to kind of spread out the variety in an article that might have 10 or 12 shoes. So I think that might be something else like on the business back end that I know less about. But I think if brands are looking to offer affiliate links, that can be a really good move and something that might, you know, help the brand and business in general in the future.
Oh, that's great advice. Yeah, because I don't love when I'm not thinking of anything off the top of my head, but I have seen it where, like, you know, you go to an article and it's all Amazon links. It's kind of nice that.
Yeah, it feels kind of yuck, right?
Like, yes, exactly.
And you're like, and listen, I mean, I order way too much from Amazon anyway, but you just,
of course,
it's nicer when it can go to the brand, especially if there are smaller brands and you find a great product to feature in this roundup like this, and you're hoping to support the business, and you know, it's, I think it just is like a better feeling if you know you can link to that. So it depends probably on each brand's business goals and all of that, but I think if a brand has something like that available to offer and just let somebody know, that can be really helpful, which you might not even know though, that a writer like myself is working on an article, you know, and including that link. Like, I might not, let's say for this, I've had 10 to 12 brands. I might not have even like reached out to find 12 media people to reach out to. Like, I would have looked at the website, looked at the link, looked at descriptions of the shoe on there and a couple of other platforms, and then done the write-up without reaching out to a PR person.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is going on without the media contacts knowing about it. So maybe if there is something on a website that says like prominently like affiliate links available upon request or something like that, that would be helpful.
That's a really good tip. I remember working in-house somewhere and they were asking about our affiliate program and I really didn't know much about it and I had to be connected with biz dev. I imagine that happens sometimes with other publicists, but it's good to kind of merge and collaborate those two things, the paid side of things with the unpaid, because you can, it makes your life easier, it makes, they'll make money, everybody, I mean, it's a win.
Yeah.
I'm saying four wins because the reader, the writer, the publication, and the company.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think the consumer wants to go to hopefully the brand's website.
I think so.
Although they probably will like shop around and see what the cost is versus something like Amazon and if there's free shipping and things like that. But still, you know, I think it's at least you're getting them there. Yeah, hopefully you're getting them there and the brand is, you know, more willing to work with that company that has the affiliate link. I think that sneaker companies are a little bit more like with that. I think that's probably, maybe it was like New Balance or something like that offered it to
okay.
me. I think it's great. Why not create, I don't know how to create an affiliate link, but why not like learn how to do that if you are a brand and try to like have that available for editors and freelancers.
Yeah, absolutely. So moving on to housekeeping, do you receive a lot of pitches from publicists?
I do. I mean, it depends on what's a lot. I think I've said like really these days I maybe get 20 or so. I don't get as many as I did when I was on staff as an editor at magazine. My last staff editorial job was Muscle and Fitness and I ended that in 2017. But then I probably got maybe like 100 pitches a day or definitely like when I was at Prevention, I got so many.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. And then you're getting all that email correspondence from your from your coworkers and your bosses and all of that. So obviously it's very easy to get lost. Now I would say probably 30% of the work I do is editorial about that. I would say the rest is brand work. So I'm getting less pitches probably due to that.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And I would say, but I do get pitches sometimes after somebody sees an article, you know, they'll say, oh, Diana, I saw you wrote about the sleep article especially like I write for Tom's Guide as well. And then we update an article that I worked on for them even a couple years ago, and my byline's still there. And then a publicist will reach out to my personal email and just mention that. Hey, they'll say, hey, I saw you worked on this article. I hope in the future you can consider my client, which is great. I think that's good and it's relevant and timely. I can see that, you know, somebody else updated that article and now I'm getting a personal email from a public relations professional about their client. And obviously they're hopefully not asking me to insert their client into the article, which is always a big no-no. But you know, they're just saying, hey, in the future, if you're working on more stuff, like I hope you keep us in mind, and that's totally fine. So I think that's appropriate.
Yeah. And hopefully they're using the right keywords so that later on you can reference it easier.
Yes, absolutely.
So when it comes to covering a story that a publicist has sent your way, what are some helpful things that they can do and provide you with? For example, like, do you use press releases, imagery, interviews, et cetera? Like, what do you love when a publicist works with you?
Yeah, I think what I've found most helpful recently is when somebody introduces their client, let's say now it's like a medical professional, and they'll say, here are some topics this person can speak on. And they might provide like 10 different sort of like article ideas that the person can speak about, as well as if they include even, I think, personal things. Like if, let's say it's an OBGYN, I'm working on some stories right now for Health Central about women's health topics. And let's just say they said this person is also like a triathlete and a mom and things like that. And it's just in the email, that's helpful to me because maybe later I get an assignment where I'm looking for, you know, a MD who's a mom or somebody who's a triathlete or things like that. I think it can also be helpful to just include a little bit of like a bio with some fun elements or extracurriculars or something like that, that again might be kind of keywords that a freelancer or editor is searching in their inbox for. But yeah, I would say right now, I think if they just kind of offer some like topic ideas that they can talk about, that just kind of like trigger something in my brain for me right now. It doesn't mean that I'm like pitching them right now for something, but I just find it helpful. Like, it means the publicist is thinking of article ideas from a headline standpoint. And so it helps me do that as well.
How often is it cool for them to kind of keep tabs with you regularly, like once a month or so, or is that too much, do you think?
I had somebody who was kind of following up with me, I'm going to say like every 6 weeks or so recently. And I just like let her know, I was like, hey, listen, I'm just not working on anything where I'm pitching right now. Like I just responded because I'd already worked with her for an article in the past. And, you know, it wasn't, I know she's doing her job and I didn't mind that she did it. I just was like, she's like, hey, here's my expert in case, like, what are you working on pitching? And I was like, I don't have the brain space to even pitch anything right now. Like, I'm just taking what I can do. So I just let her know. I was like, I'm not pitching anything new, but I'll keep her in mind. And then all of a sudden, a couple of assignments came my way. And then I reached out to her and was like, hey, I have something. And then maybe we can talk about this topic. So I think if you have a relationship with the journalist, it's not that terrible to kind of reach out to like every 6 weeks to 2 months. And like, especially if something new or interesting is going on with your client, or if it's relevant to a study. I know this is hard for you guys, you're balancing so much, but like if a new study came out and you're like, hey, my expert could totally talk about this, and you're pitching it to your health journalists, you know, like that's great. You're kind of doing the easy thinking work for them, right? So I think if something's timely, or you could even say like, I hate when people say like, what are you working on, as like a question just as a publicist, because I'm like, I don't know, I'm working on so much, I don't know what I'm working on. But if you're saying, hey, you know, I have this expert who can talk about these October themes, if you're already like starting to work on that with your clients, or you know, if you're working with print magazines and need some holiday ideas, my client can talk about X, Y, and Z themes, I think that's fine and relevant and helpful. So it depends on, I think, a little bit of the relationship. If I've probably never worked with the person before, if they're emailing me once a month, I'm probably not responding to it. So that's probably
makes sense.
Doesn't mean I'm annoyed at them. I just know they're doing their job. They have to do that. And yeah. I just am not responding because I have other things to do. But again, like I'll later search my inbox and just like reach out if something clicks.
Cool. Right. Sounds like you like people being proactive and not being passive about it. You know what I mean? Like, what are you working on? I hate that too.
Yeah.
Kind of lazy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, unless it was like, right, if we're a friend and we're having drinks and
right,
like that type of thing is totally different. But I don't have time to respond to 20 emails of what I'm working on because I cannot work on what I'm working on. And actually, you know, I've been trying to post on Twitter maybe like once a week of like, hey, here's what I'm working on this week, and just kind of offer broad themes and like ask other freelancers to share what they are working on. So I think it might be good for publicists to kind of look at those type of posts and threads and things like that on social media. Like, I'm just trying to say like, oh, here, like I'll say I'm working on a beauty article and perhaps a breast cancer article and things like that. So, you know, if somebody reached out after seeing something like that, that's totally fine and open to it. I'm putting my stuff out there publicly. So, you know, just kind of keep your eyes and ears open for that. But yeah, I think proactive work on your part is great. Absolutely.
So when I know you mentioned that Vionic has events, and I'm assuming you love going to those to also like maybe potentially build relationships with the brands and the people who represent the brands. But kind of jumping into building relationships with you, Diana, what's the best way for a PR to do so?
Yeah, I mean, I think some of the best relationships, I sighed because it was like definitely probably in-person stuff was probably some of the best ways I had, you know, relationships with PR people. And, you know, I think that is a good way to go, but it depends on the stage of life that the journalist is in, I think, in order to like how well you're going to be able to connect with them there. I really think just email for me personally is good for somebody to reach out there, and then like, you know, keeping conversations going on social media, you know, retweeting a tweet and things like that, and like sharing something on LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn a lot more now and kind of keeping conversations going there, and I'm noticing, you know, who's commenting. So I think, you know, especially if you're an editor, you're trying to pitch, or a writer, you're trying to pitch, is posting on LinkedIn a lot, you know, adding value to their posts and articles and things like that with comments there. Like, they'll see you, so that they see your name there, and then when you show up in their inbox, it's a little bit friendlier. So I think kind of just right now for me personally, digital communication is where it's at, because it's hard for me to get in touch with people in person these days with my schedule and little kids and stuff. But you know, I think really events and things like that can be really just go a long way for building relationships. And personally, I hope I can get back to more of them, but I do think there's a lot of value in that for publicists and journalists and freelance writers to kind of all work together more and just, you know, see each other in person and then have that takeaway.
I like that. Beautiful. That's very accessible. Yeah. For mm-hmm. everybody. I realize the time, it's almost 12:40. Shall we skip to asking you for about your shout outs?
Sure, if you don't mind, just because.
Yeah.
I think that
I'm on a 6 o'clock deadline that I'm like, I think I tweeted today that I said like, oh, I am struggling with how much time it takes me to do things this summer. I keep thinking like, I'm just going to get this article done in an hour, and that takes me like 2 or 3, you know, I'm just having like one of those weeks. But it's good. It's good to work, and I'm very excited about it. And you can leave that in whether you want to or not. Yeah. So my shout outs, so who I'm really excited to be working with right now. I do like working on Quoted. I find that, more people are over there. I can put a kind of pitch request up, and, I find that if I put a query out there on Quoted, I'm getting like a little bit more like strategic answers and fast responses, and just it seems like good experts there, as well as I feel like the team there is kind of offering almost like a concierge type service to journalists and editors, where they're saying like, hey, I noticed nobody really responded to your pitch. Do you want to try to reach out to this person or that person? And like, they'll provide links to people who might be a fit, which is really nice. You know, they're doing the legwork for you at that point. And then there's somebody else, Melissa, I'm going to butcher her name, Chefik. I've been working with her for years. She just works with a lot of individual medical professionals. And I think she's probably sends pitches maybe once or twice a week, and they just, you know, land in my inbox. That's fine. But I kind of look around for her stuff when I'm looking for an expert to reach out to in the future, because I feel like she's always been very fast and professional and easy to work with, and tries to reach out to her client right away to see if they can do the interview or not. You know, she's very responsive and, you know, she tries to do what she can, definitely. So I just feel like she's somebody with her PR. I don't know her PR firm. I just know her name, which is terrible. But she's just kind of been somebody who's like been around in the health world for probably at least 10 plus years. And then I've like searched her emails. So, you know, I think it's just nice to have different people. But, you know, as we talked about, I think what's really helpful is just kind of putting some keywords into your emails. You know, think about what the writer or editor is looking for. If it's like a sleep or mattress client, putting in a lot of like the words somebody might look for around that. If they're writing an article on that, you know, make sure those are in your emails and not just like in like any kind of like graphic or something like that. You know, make sure it's like text in an email that's there that somebody's going to search through and try to find an expert quickly if they're working the same way that I do.
Very, very great tips. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of We Earn Media. Jacqueline and I have a bit of a favor to ask. If you find the podcast useful and have an extra minute or two to spare, we would be incredibly grateful if you could take just a moment to leave a rating. Your feedback means the world to us, and it helps others discover our show. Thank you so much, listeners, for being a part of our PR community, and we can't wait to hear what you think. Also, I'm excited to announce that I'm offering publicity and PR coaching sessions starting this fall. I've been getting a few requests for this kind of support, and I'm excited to finally make it official. If you're a startup founder, someone trying to build your personal brand, or simply just trying to level up your PR skills, I would love to help. It's something I'm really passionate about, and it's really fun just to connect with others in the community too. Feel free to send me a message at brit@britclance.com or fill out the Google form in today's episode show notes. Thanks again, listeners, for your time and for sharing in this journey with us.